This sermon was delivered at Grand Avenue Baptist Church, a gospel-centered church in Ames, Iowa. Hear more sermons and learn more about Grand Avenue at gabcames.org.
Well, Christmas, families often have many Christmas traditions and that we celebrate every year. And one of those is when a family will open, I don't know if you've ever seen this, and I'm going to ask Paul, hey, Paul, will you just dim these lights up here just a little bit? Because I can't see everybody. It's so bright. If we had the windows open, it would kind of diffuse yet. Yeah, a little more. There we go. That's better. I like to see your faces. Okay. But perhaps you have a Christmas tradition like this. Does anybody have a tradition where you open a gift on Christmas Eve and then you open the rest on Christmas Day? You can hold your hand up. Okay, I see one. A few? Okay, that's okay. That's a very different. I think we did that one time a few years ago with our family, and then actually it happened once when I was younger. So that's a pretty cool Christmas that you have. You do that too, Everett? Okay. it's a very different Christmas tradition. You kind of get some anticipation when you do that, and but we're going to do something kind of like that tonight. Okay. And what we have been doing here at Grand, and I know a lot of you are here visiting family, so I'm going to catch you up to speed. We've been going through the book of Isaiah, and we didn't stop and do a Christmas series when we got to Advent and stuff. We just kept going right through Isaiah because we're in the portion of Isaiah that was looking forward to Christ's advent, and Isaiah was prophesying about that. And so we're actually in a very famous section of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 52:13 through 53:13. So it's the fourth servant song, as it's known. And there are what I have outlined to be four gifts in this song. And what we're going to do is open one of those gifts tonight, right? And then tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, when we meet again, we're going to open the other three gifts. So if you want the rest of your gifts, you have to come back. All right. So that's what we're going to be doing. But to end this fourth servant song, this first gift that we're going to be looking at comes right at the beginning of that text. And I'm going to read 52:13 through 53:1 for us, and it's in your service guide if you need to find that. So it says, "See, my servant will be successful. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man, and his form did not resemble a human being. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for they will see what had not been told them, and they will understand what they had not heard. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so this passage, believe it or not, it really gets used a lot at Easter, but this text is actually an Advent passage. And it tells us that God will send his servant and he will give amazing gifts to his people. So what Isaiah does not do, Isaiah does not disconnect the cross of Christ from his advent, or we might say from Christmas. And this really is the problem that we have at Christmas, right? We often get very sentimental about Christmas, and those are the feelings that go with everything. But we don't really think about the cross of Christ. Christmas is often disconnected from the cross, and we talk about his mission. We talk about peace and salvation, but we fail to see that it was through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead that these gifts that he brought to mankind when he came were all through the cross and his resurrection. So we forget his sufferings, because Christmas is just filled with sentimentality. Now listen, I enjoy Christmas traditions as much as the next person. I'm not poo-pooing Christmas traditions, okay? And celebrating the first advent of Christ at Christmas is important. But what we want to do is keep our biblical theology in front of us, right, Eric? That's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we're not just looking at the cradle, but we're looking at the cross, and we're looking at the crown that followed the cross. So Christmas should not just be about the warm fuzzies, right? And sappy Hallmark Christmas movies, right? With one theme, one plot in the whole movie. Every one of them is all the same. So I know you can write me a nasty email next week, okay? And so, because I'll be gone. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to open that first Christmas gift tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the gift is. We're looking at the gift of faith in these verses. That's what the first gift is about. So it's the gift of being able to hear, to see, to understand, and believe what Jesus has done for us. I mean, these first three verses actually tell the whole story that this whole song tells, and it kind of builds and up. And so here's my point. God helps us understand the first gift in Isaiah, and that first gift is faith. And so I have a little outline for you, okay? And it's real easy, and hopefully it'll stick, and you'll remember it at other Christmas seasons, okay? So the cradle, which, you know, we often remember that, the cross, and the crown. The cradle, the cross, and the crown. And it's the gift of faith that comes that helps us to understand the cradle, the cross, and the crown. First, we need to consider the cradle. And I like the way the ESV renders the word see. Okay, if you have the CSV, the Christian Standard Version is what's in your service guide. But I really like the way the ESV renders that word, that Hebrew word see. And it says, behold. 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 When somebody says behold, that kind of gets your attention, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you know, word see is kind of like, okay, I see that. But when somebody says behold, you're just going to pay attention to what's going on. And there's nothing wrong with the word see, but behold, my servant. Those first three words arrest us and get our attention. And God wants us to see something here. And there is a comma after that word behold, or after that word see, because we need to pause. There's something we need to understand. There's something we need to see. There's something we need to hear. We've got to get this. And it might be better, and we would understand it, if the word see or the word behold was in all caps, because that's what we do when we email somebody and we want them to see it, right? We just put it in all caps. I'd send that things out to the elders sometimes at the church. I want to make sure they get this email. And so I'll put in the subject line whatever I want them to see, and I'll put it in all caps because I want them to make sure they just don't delete my email or just read it later, you know. And we'll do that with text messages, you know. And so we'll put it in all caps so that person will pay attention to what we're saying. That's really what this is. It's in all caps kind of thing. Behold, my servant. Pay attention here. Which is why Jesus, first advent, when he came as a baby, we are called to behold him and to keep on beholding him. We read this passage earlier in the service. And so when Jesus first arrived, his birth was announced by angels. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. Behold." And when the angel got to behold, those shepherds had to be paying attention. Well, they were paying attention probably before that point, but when he said that, they're laser focused on what's going on. God is giving us the gift of beholding here. The idea of beholding Jesus is more than just beholding like the kings and the shepherds. It's for all of us. Yeah, they were to behold, but we're all to behold. And God is able. How are you going to behold Jesus? You can't behold the baby in the manger that is the Messiah unless God gives you faith to do that. He's got to give you faith to understand that he is the Savior. So yes, we are beholding God's servant who was born in the city of David. But we must be able to see the Christ child that is in the cradle at Christmas time. Our eyes also must track all the way to the cross. So we behold him in the cradle. We're going to see him at the cross. And again, we need faith to grasp this. God's servant came into this world like any other person, and he was born. But Jesus' birth wasn't a middle class birth. And we've had four babies born this week to this church. I know, four. I know it. And you know, we live in a pretty good society, in a pretty good town. We have a good hospital and all of those things, very middle class, you know, provisions here, you know, and really you go all the way over to Iowa City and Children's Medical. I mean, you've got the creme de la creme over there. They are the best. And what we've got good services here, but Jesus wasn't born in those kind of services, was he? He was born in a cattle stall. He was born in a cattle stall. He was born in a barn. And then when he was born, he was laid in a manger. Now listen to me. When somebody has a baby, putting that baby in a feed trough is not on their to-do list, right? I mean, the nurse is not going to say, well, I have a feed trough here and I have this cradle and you can pick which one. One's got some hay and some bugs. We got all the feed out of it. Which one? You want to put that baby in the cleanest thing that there is. But Jesus wasn't born that way. He came in very lowly circumstances, and he went from those lower. It was appalling, all right? It was appalling, the conditions that he was born in. It was appalling in the first century. I mean, in the first century, their goal wasn't to go out and back by the outhouse and the livestock and all of that stuff and have a baby. No, they had that in a clean room with midwives and all the things that went with taking care of that child. That's not how Jesus was born, even in that circumstances. Appalling would describe how he was born in the first century. And so from the beginning of Jesus' life, it was appalling. And we might read verse 14a this way. Behold, many were appalled at you, because that's what we read in this text. They were appalled when he came to this earth. And so he was appalling from his first advent. He was appalling as he went through his ministry. And from the cradle to the cross, Jesus shocked many of those who met him. They didn't like him. They didn't want to hear from him. They wanted to ignore him. They were appalled by what he had to say. But it was at the cross where people were most appalled. He was stripped of his clothes, beaten with a cat of nine tails, so that his flesh would slowly be ripped from his body, thus maximizing his pain and causing him to bleed out. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head, and then that crown was driven into his skull when Roman soldiers took their rods and they beat him over the head with those things. Then he was forced to carry his own cross, an instrument of execution, all the way to Golgotha, where the nails were driven in his hands and his feet. Then he was raised up on the cross. And before they raised him up, they stripped him naked to maximize his humiliation. And so he hung there 6 hours between heaven and earth. And during those hours, he was humiliated, mocked, taunted and tortured. And finally, he died. And just to make sure that he died on that cross, a Roman soldier took a spear and he pierced his side and drove it into his heart. That's what happened. And people were appalled at him, appalled when he was born, appalled at his ministry, and appalled at his death. He was not a sight to look at. He did not even look human, according to this text. He was horrific. This does not allow us to see Christmas from a sappy Hallmark movie perspective, does it? This kind of puts reality in front of our faces, and it requires faith to see that. faith to see that. God has to give us faith. He has to open the eyes of our heart and give our minds understanding for what Isaiah is seeing here. Now listen to me. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Christ was born. 700 years. These are not my words. I mean, this is documented scholarly work that has been done. The Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in the cave at Qumran in Palestine, they verify this. 700 years before Christ was born, the depiction of his crucifixion was put in this text. We ought to be appalled at what we read, at the accuracy of what Isaiah described, and he described it. Now keep this in mind, 150 years before, not just 150 years, but he wrote this about his people as they were in Babylon for them to hear 150 years while they later when they were in captivity. And then this came to fruition some 600, 550 years later. So 700 years before he was born, this happened. The cross, the cradle, the cross, and now the crown. And in verse 13b shows us that the crown will be given to God's servant for the work that he did in order to save his people. He says, "See, behold, my servant will be successful, and he will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted." Jesus' success is seen in verse 15. He says, "He will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for they will see what had not been told to them, for they will understand what they had not heard." And here we learn God's servant had a priestly function. So he was God's servant. He was coming as the Messiah. And one of his roles was to be a priest. And when he came, he carried out his priestly function of cleansing his people by sprinkling them. And what we know is to be with his blood. That's how he paid for our sins. And he washed us. He sprinkled with the water of the word, the New Testament tells us. And this is how he cleansed us. And he created in us faith to see him and to understand his word. The cradle, the cross, and the crown. Isaiah 53 closes with our understanding of the gift of faith when Isaiah asked this in verse 1. "Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" So verse 1 poses the question that we all must answer. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in his virgin birth and that came in the manger? Have you believed in his sacrificial atoning death on the cross for your sin? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead and exalted him high above every name that has ever been named? Because faith is what takes to believe that. And if you don't believe that and you want to believe that, then cry out to God to give you faith so that you can believe. But the application of this text really is at the beginning. When you look back at verse 13, the application is one word. Behold. Behold. That's what we're supposed to do when we see Christ. We behold him. We stand in awe of him. Not appalled, in awe of him. And faith allows us to behold him. May the Lord God give you faith this Christmas Eve. Let's pray.